1850 715 815.
Peter, good afternoon and welcome home.
Good afternoon, Philip. How are you?
How big was your prison cell?
It was about 6 foot by 3 foot.
And did you pace it much?
A lot of the time, yeah.
And was it bars or a solid metal door?
No, it was a glass window looking out over the airport.
Really?
So it was... Basically, the reason I'm ringing you, Philip, is just to let people know how your life can be turned upside down within minutes. Like, basically, I arrived at the airport. I flew from Dublin into Abu Dhabi to Manila. Arrived at the airport and just handed in my passport. And
What were you going to the Philippines for?
A funeral. My best friend's wife's sister died out there suddenly. So
I'm terribly sorry.
It was a kind of a big rush to get there. And unfortunately, the lady is still not buried because they had a typhoon last night and the grave was full of water this morning, so they couldn't bury her. So,
but you arrived with a passport that was not out of date, but would be soon.
No, it would be out of date on the 24th of August next. And they will not let you into the country unless your passport is 6 months in date. So basically, I arrived there at 7 o'clock in the evening, and at 7:15, I was in a cell. And my mate and his wife, they got in okay. But they charged you for staying. I had to pay $19.40 a night. You had to pay for coffee. It was 100 pesetas for coffee. And if you wanted to get something in the shop, you had to send the guard. You give the guard money, but you never got change. In fairness, they did treat me good. Like, they didn't treat me bad.
Right. Were you in a cell by yourself?
Yes. Yes, there was two American Marines there as well. And there's a couple of ladies there as well. All down to passports.
Really?
There's one lady there. She had a six-year-old child, and his passport was out of date. And she was locked up today after me. After I went in, and she reckoned she wouldn't be out there maybe to Tuesday or Wednesday.
Sorry, was it her passport or the six-year-old's passport?
The child's passport, six-year-old's passport.
They didn't put the child in prison as well, did they?
Yes, the child was there as well, yeah.
In a jail cell?
Well, it's not actually a jail cell, it's a room. But
you're locked up.
No matter where I went, there was a security guard with me all the time. If I went to the toilet, he stood outside the toilet door. If I went for a cigarette, he came with me.
If they're locking up six-year-olds, they're obviously pretty hardcore about this, aren't they? Was it clear to you, and was it explained that when you were going to get out and how long you were going to have to be there, or did you think that this was going to be an open-ended visit?
I got no information off them whatsoever. The only information I was getting was I was ringing my mate. He was trying to get through. The embassy was closed for the weekend. He couldn't get through to them. And it was him that got me all the information all the time, because he made 5 visits to the airport on the Saturday to see could he get me into the country, and just nothing could be done because the embassy was closed, and I was getting no communications from the security officers. They didn't know anything. And my mate, like, I checked my phone bill this morning. My phone bill for last weekend alone was €500.
Oh my good God. But hang on a second. You arrive at passport control.
Yes, well...
And they literally frog march you off straight from there and throw you into this room?
Yes. Within 15 minutes of being there. But what I want to... When I was in Dublin, flying out there, one of the staff at passport control says to me, so do you realise your passport is out next... on the 24th of August next. And I said, I do, yeah, I know that. Yeah. I said, that's okay, right, go on. But I felt after all that happened, he shouldn't have let me travel.
Right, well, did he know what country you were going to?
He didn't indeed, yeah.
Uh-huh.
He knew exactly where I was going.
Because obviously, I mean, obviously, to be, you know, pedantic about it, you are at fault. You're the one who should be responsible for this. But obviously, because you were trying to organise things in such a rush.
Yeah, exactly.
The last thing you're going to be doing is looking at the fine print of what your visa and entry requirements are.
Definitely, of course. And basically, I just want to warn people that make sure your passport is 6 months in date if you're going to that country. Because it will just lock you up. Like one of the Marines that was there, just to let you know, he missed the flight. and they won't let you sit around the airport. They lock you up until your next available flight.
What?
They won't let you stay around the airport. They reckon it's for your own safety, but...
And he chose to be locked up rather than leave the airport and go and check into a hotel?
Yeah, because he was after being stung. He was in the city and he walked into a bar or something, and when he went to go out, they were looking for money off him, basically stating that he had to give them some money for being there, you know. It's
so
really
he felt safer in Chokey, so to speak,
safer,
rather
yeah,
than...
Yeah, definitely did, yeah.
And tell me, the woman who was there with the six-year-old child, how distressed was she?
Unhappy now because she was going to a family reunion and it was actually happening on the Sunday and she was locked up. And she just basically never left the room. The child was running around okay. He was running out to me playing and it just simply kept me going most of the time really, you know.
And are you being returned then on the next available flight or on the flight that you had already booked and paid for?
No, I was due to come back tomorrow. Right. So my mate organised the flights. Okay, the airline company obviously paid for them or whatever, but my mate organised it. So he actually changed his flight and came back with me.
Okay.
And he left his wife in the Philippines.
But I don't understand something here. I mean, it is your flight that they are going to return you on. They're not paying for a flight. They're not going to put you on the next available flight.
Oh, yes, they will do. They were letting me out on the Sunday at 7 o'clock. I was flying out on Sunday at 7 o'clock and then they came along and told me no, there was no connecting flight in Abu Dhabi.
What happened to you in Abu Dhabi? Did the Abu Dhabi authorities get informed by the Philippine authorities that this man's passport is not in...
I was escorted in Manila to the plane. The plane was full and I was escorted down to the very back of the plane, told to sit there. And when it landed in Abu Dhabi, don't leave the seat until somebody comes to get you. An official came on, collected me off the plane in Abu Dhabi, and stayed with me for 2 hours for the connecting flight. I was escorted onto the flight to Dublin with the flight full, marched down to the back of the plane and told not to get off that seat until you got into Dublin, somebody will come and collect you.
Wow. You got
so an official came on in Dublin, collected me, brought me through to passport control and handed back my passport. I didn't have my passport from the Friday evening. I never had my passport. They had it.
So even arriving back in your own home country, you must have felt like you were being treated like some sort of a criminal.
Of course I did. And like it's very difficult to get your head around it. When I came home, I was breaking down crying. The other day, for no strange reason. I don't know why, what happened to me. It's just that's the way it affected me. And I just wouldn't like to see it happen with anybody else. Basically, that's why I'm on here.
Yeah, but you've been through a traumatic experience. And
it's
post-traumatic stress, obviously.
Well,
you've got to take care of yourself here now.
Oh, I will indeed, yeah. I will indeed, yeah. I'll be okay. It's just I wouldn't like to see it happen to anybody else. You know?
Try and extract something positive from it. You're home and you're in one piece. And
yes. Yes.
And on the upside, you've beat priority queuing, you've beat the VIP treatment.
VIP treatment.
Absolutely.
That's what VIP treatment is. I don't want any of it.
Forget Michael O'Leary's priority queues. Forget paying for VIP treatment. Go straight to
of
the
course.
Deportation, jump the queue system.
That exactly is.
Yeah. You could have done without it at the same time, Peter. All right.
Right, listen, Philip, thanks very much. It's just to let people know that how quick and how fast your whole life can be turned upside down just for something silly like.
Oh, you are a walking salutary tale in that respect. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Check your passport before boarding a plane, folks.
I will indeed.
All right, Peter.
Thank you very much, Philip.
Thank you very much. 1-850-715-815. Michael, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to yourself.
A lot of people serving jail time on today's programme. You went for a month over a TB reactor cow, Michael.
That's correct, yeah. And listening to that man there now, it brings back memories that there was a good few people who were brought back on immigration issues, brought into, I was in Limerick jail and Shannon Airport would be alongside it, and there was a good few people with, you know, maybe illegal or whatever it would be, they'd be just dropped in and they'd be there for a couple of days.
Can I start the story at the very end? You turn to your prison inmates once you have actually been banged up and you tell them that you're in for a TB reactor cow. Describe the looks on their faces to me, the other prisoners.
Well, you see, most of the prisoners in Limerick would be local to the city and they wouldn't know much about famine. But you'd have to explain what you're in here for a cow, they'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say I'm in here because I wouldn't give away my own cow. So that's basically what...
Well, not only that, but you wouldn't give away your own sick and possibly dying cow.
Well, the information or the knowledge I have is my cow might be sick. You see, the test isn't 100% accurate. The cow has to be killed and she has to be cultured. And if she has lesions, she has TB. But if she don't have lesions, she don't have TB. So your cow could be... She could be a false positive or the other way, the negative, false negative. That's the way it works.
All the same, though, that's quite something to go to jail over.
It's not really. You'd have to understand the background to it, I suppose, you know.
Go on.
Difficulty understanding it, like, you know.
But what, were you looking to be properly compensated for the loss of your cow? Or was it just the principle?
No. The compensation wasn't sufficient to cover. When you have a reactor cow, you see, your head is locked up. I think you heard the boys talking about John Moran and them there yesterday. Your head is restricted in for a number of months. So the couple of £100 that you get for the cow isn't here nor there to cover you for your losses, you know.
Because for that 60-day period, you're not allowed to trade cattle on or off the farm. You can only bring them directly to the factory.
Yeah, yeah. See, it upsets your total. If you want to sell calves or if you want to buy in cattle or vice versa, everything goes haywire on you, you know.
But you were prepared, nonetheless, to sacrifice your own liberty for a full month. I mean, that's taking a principle to a pretty extreme level.
No, it's not. You see, you kind of can't understand it. The principle was that you have to give the cow up. If you don't give the cow up, we'll put you into jail. But they couldn't take the cow, you see. So they put me into jail and they hoped that I might give them the cow, but it didn't happen, you see.
Did they take the cow anyway?
They did. They took the cow while I was in jail.
How did you feel about that?
Sure, I'd expect that. They'd have to do something. Like, sure, the state couldn't be standing around with a couple of contrary farmers, like, you know.
Well, at least you're self-aware about it. How was your time in prison?
As I say, the kind of an individual I am, the prison wouldn't bother me that amount at all, you know. You see, I think a lot of people have a kind of a false opinion of what prison is. I'd say you have it even yourself, because I heard you asking John yesterday, how did you get on in prison, and was it a terror or something like that, you know. But prison isn't all that bad at all, you know.
Well, I've seen the inside of Limerick Prison. I've been in Cork Prison and in Mountjoy as well, and I've talked to the people in there, and... They don't describe it as being a walk in the park.
Well, all the people that I met in prison, they get up in the morning and they all wash their teeth and they wash their face and things like that. So they have respect for themselves, you know.
Okay. And what do you do for the rest of the day?
Well, I was involved in the grounds. You had to look after the grounds and go out and cut the grass and walk on any tennis ball that was thrown in over the wall, and always at a hole in case there might be drugs, and that was your duties.
And in all that time in there, were you not worried about the condition of your animals and were they being looked after properly?
No, the local farmers came in and looked after my animals for me.
So they supported the position that you were taking on the reactor cow?
Yeah. We would have met them, John Morland and them, we would have met them.
This is John who was on yesterday,
when they were in Mount Jay, there was a picket on them. We would have gone up and there was a picket in Limerick Jail while I was there as well, like, you know.
So we're going back to, is it the early 90s or the mid-90s?
No,
1994.
John Morland would be 10 years beyond that now, you know. So this thing isn't kind of still going on, because the lads up in Wicklow, they're not happy with the badges and the TB and the year at the minute as well, from what I can gather, you know.
Is the system better worked out now to compensate farmers?
No, it's worse altogether now. Not alone. You'll get compensated for the reactor now, but now you have to even pay for the running of the TB scheme yourself. You have to pay for the testing. You have to pay for tags, and they've totally put into the hands of the farmer, let him do it all, I pay for everything. There is a big government grant there for that, you know.
But some would say it is your business and these are just the associated costs with running a business. Why should you be compensated? Why should anybody else pay?
Yeah, but it's much bigger than that because it has to do with the export of our cattle, you see. And that's basically what happens is if you have even a reactor, the department wants you to kill all your cattle so that they can say that there is no restricted herd in a particular county, you know.
Uh-huh.
So there's ways for doing everything.
But do you not get compensated in that case to restock?
No, you would, yeah, but can you just imagine if you ever held the cows and you're milking them there and you have to kill them all, you say restock, where will you go to get held the cows like? You go buying heifers and shit, they'll kick you and poke you and do everything, which is unreal like. You're saying to me, why would you go to jail? But this is the other side of the story, like, you know.
Well, but the other side of the story is if you do nothing, that we have TB-ridden herds all over the country and that you have an entire industry being jeopardised.
I don't see it that way. I understand the about the export end of it, but you see, at the minute, our exports as regards cattle and are very bad position at the minute, and they're not talking about TB, they're just talking about other reasons, you know.
And would you do it again, Michael, and do you think that the depth of feeling still exists that others would do the same thing?
Well, I came very close to doing it 2 years ago. I got two summonses for being late tested, one for TB and one for brucellosis, 2,000 each, and only just as the Sun paper announced to me I'd be in jail at that period, you know.
And why did you not go? Why did you not?
They paid it and announced to me.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, Michael.
All right, good luck.
Well, thank you very much for the insight. Take care of yourself now.
Indeed, yeah, bye.
1850-715-815.
Chris, good afternoon. How are you?
Afternoon, Philip. How are you?
You had an awful passport debacle as well. What happened?
It's 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I suppose. I was straight into Doha one time without getting my passport stamped. And on my way out. Now, how that happened was, I was an aircraft engineer and I was sent for work from Bahrain down to Doha on the last flight. And I got off and did my work. It took about an hour. And when I was going through the building, there was nobody in the building. So it was close up. Everybody had gone home. So I wandered down to the hotel, stayed the night in the hotel. And returning next day, I was met with immigration saying, how the hell did you get into our country? Your passport ain't stamped. And I said, I came in last night.
While you were all asleep.
Yes. I upset them very much. I upset Yes, and I had to go to three different offices and eventually retract my story a little bit to make it more plausible.
Yes, I entered the country illegally. You were still asleep, but...
Yes.
And was that what it took?
Yeah.
You didn't get dragged away in leg irons and manacles, though, did you?
Oh, no, I went into three different offices, going higher and higher all the time, and the interviews were getting more sterner and everything, and I think the only thing that saved me was that I belonged to the airline. You know,
indeed, if you'd been a civilian, it might have been something entirely different. So the moral of that particular story is hang around a passport control no matter how long. You have to wait until somebody's there to stamp your passport.
Oh, I don't think so. He wished me good luck and hoped I came back again to Doha.
Did you?
Not likely.
Not in a hurry.
Right. Not in a hurry.
All right, Chris, thanks very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1850-715-815.